good Monday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. Thanks for joining us, being on board for a couple of hours, doing our thing on a good Monday. We're on not just Sports360AZ.com. Welcome the audience from AZ Central Sports and also from White Mountain Radio. Good to be on White Mountain Radio. And those that follow us on Twitter, you can get through it at Brad Sussmat. Paula Bova, News and Notes, will join us in about, bottom of the hour, thereabouts. Spent some time with Paula on the sidelines at ASU on Saturday afternoon. That was a disappointing deal on Saturday, Eric. Senior Executive Vice President of Everything, Eric Sorensen, will check in with him in a second. But on Saturday, my weekend was pretty good. Saturday morning, though, when ASU was going to scrimmage, I completely understand why Todd Graham did not want to scrimmage, because the field was less than, it was like being on an ice rink watching these guys try to get some footing out there, and that's fine. So that happened over the weekend. There's some national stuff that I saw that I really liked that we'll get to. The Cardinals game, I had a soccer game to do on Saturday night, so I went and planned accordingly. Sat over at the Elephant Bar and watched the first quarter and a half live and was just had some edamame and was like, okay, this is preseason football. And Patrick Peterson should have been beat a couple of times. It wasn't pretty. But it's preseason. Come on. And people that get all wound up, snap judgments. And the thing is, when I watch the Cardinals, here's what I came away with. They're thin at linebacker. They're real thin at linebacker. And if Kevin Minter is not out on the football field, they are in. It's not just him. They keep going down the line. And as the Darryl Washington thing happened, it's not that big. Carlos Dan, we've got Larry Foote. Larry Foote is older than, the building we're in. He's not a spring chicken. Well, now Kevin Minter, he wasn't out there. I know it's preseason, but I can go through some things with the Cardinals, and it's not like I'm sitting here nitpicking. I watched the 49ers yesterday, and they were awful. I mean, they were awful. But it's August. It's this Mickey Mouse football stuff.
When you're giving up 51-yard touchdown receptions to tight ends not named Jimmy Graham or Antonio Gates, that's probably something you should address during the preseason.
Well, it's one of those deals that as I'm watching – not just that game, but I watched a lot of football over the weekend. And I watched in spurts, drove my wife crazy because I'll watch for like a quarter and a half and I don't care who the third stringers are for Kansas City and Carolina. Don't care. I don't want to watch guys that are going to be roofing houses and digging ditches and pumping gas. There's nothing wrong with those professions. It's just a complete ripoff every year. Every August I go through the same rant.
At least it's the all-important third preseason game coming up. And then we can be completely disinterested by the fourth preseason game.
Oh, sure. But back to Arizona State. So you and I were both there on Saturday. You stayed much longer than I did because once I heard that all it was going to be was a practice, I'm done. I was down the hill.
Smart man.
Finished.
Smart man.
I mean, that was the highlight for me, honestly, at the ASU scrimmage was I met Christian Kirk in person. He was there. And I stood in the end zone and visited with Juan Roque and Jeff Van Raphorst. And there were just a bunch of Sun Devils down in one corner of the end zone. And I didn't go to ASU. So I don't want to hear from you nitwit U of A fans about how you're giving us so much love.
And it's, again, Brad, like we've talked about before on the show, expect the unexpected from Todd Graham. Like even the people that work in the SID department at ASU, no scrimmage today. They'll probably go 90 minutes. They want to get down the hill. They don't want to get anyone hurt. They kept him on the field about 3 hours.
Yeah, you weren't happy.
It's fine. No, it's fine. I was expecting to get back to Phoenix around 3:15. What time do we talk? About 5:10, and I was just getting back in the valley. It's fine.
No, it's
okay.
Fine.
I didn't get sunburn. And
listen to you.
Everything was good.
Do you think the audience cares if you got sunburn?
I have very fair skin. I'm a Scandinavian.
No, that's
so I have
true.
Very fair skin.
That's true. You're an angry Scandinavian, I might add.
Nah.
Let's get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports, because I'm going to go some different directions today. It's brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino is just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. You haven't been to the White Mountains? You're missing out. The Honda Resort and Casino, that's a great place to get away, to decompress, to get out and enjoy the cool pines in the White Mountains and pull down on that slot machine. And when you get your winnings, you go eat some great food, have some crab legs, Have some fun. Stay there. Stay there for a couple of nights. Enjoy all the amenities and the great outdoors of the White Mountains. That's at the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino. They've been a part of Sports 360 AZ since day number one. I was most interested this weekend in somebody that I'd never heard of until last week in the sports world, and it wasn't a guy. I'm more interested in Monet Davis. Monet Davis is a young lady that went out and took the world by storm over the on Friday. On Friday in Philadelphia's opener in the Little League World Series, Monet threw a two-hitter, struck out eight in a 4-0 win over Nashville, Tennessee. And of course, the great debate started on Twitter immediately about whether or not having a girl on a Little League program is the right way to go. That's ridiculous. Of course it is. It came up that will she be good enough to play in Major League Baseball, or any girl play in Major League Baseball someday? That, I think, is an argument you could have forever until somebody tries to do it. This is just a young lady who went out there, who's the sixth girl to get a hit in a Little League World Series game yesterday. Only the sixth girl to ever do it. Her team, the Tanny Dragons, are on a roll. They won their second game in a row in the Little League World Series. They beat Texas 7-6. To add to it, Monet wasn't able to pitch in the game. I wish she would have pitched, blown out her elbow, and she's going to have Tommy John surgery. She'd be like everybody else. Hey, if we want to all be on the same playing field, let's not keep track of her pitches. Being facetious here. But, you know, you hear about Monet doing her thing. She had to have 3 days off before she can pitch again. Monet Davis is going to pitch Wednesday night. That is the next time that Monet will be on the mound. If you haven't seen her, she is going to become a huge storyline. Not as big as Johnny Manziel playing tonight in a worthless, meaningless preseason game, but right along those same lines. So that's going to be this week. Eric, did you see her at all? Do you care at all about this girl?
Oh, yeah. I saw a little bit.
She's going to pitch against Vegas on Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. So 4:30 on Wednesday afternoon, I'm probably going to find myself near some device to watch a kid play in the Little League World Series.
If you miss it, don't worry, because I'm sure all the sports programs that are on at night will run highlights after highlights after highlights, regardless of how she does. But it is a great story.
No, it's what, because I can go through, if you want me to sit here and go through what happened in the Cardinals preseason game, it's not happening. These nonsensical items about how Teddy Bridgewater now has moved forward in the quarterback derby based on what he did at the end of the Cardinals game against guys who were never going to see the field except on special teams. What, are you kidding me? So that caught my eye over the weekend. Yeah, tonight I'm going to be one of those guys that watches Johnny Manziel. I'm not going to sit there and race home and get everything organized to watch what he does from the beginning of the game. I'm a big Brian Hoyer guy. Just kidding. Brian Hoyer couldn't make it here. I'm actually going to watch the Brian Hoyer game tonight. I'll be the only one. I like how Brian Hoyer told John Gruden that he doesn't watch NFL Network. He doesn't watch ESPN. He hasn't gone on the internet. He hasn't gone on any blogs. He hasn't done anything. So he has no idea what people are saying about him out there. Right. And of course, when he goes out on the field and something bad happens to him, and Johnny is the guy that fans are chanting for and cheering for, the first incomplete pass that Brian Hoyer has, there's going to be Brown fans at the game tonight. It's not going to be all Redskins, but there's more interest. I never thought RG3 would be superseded by the quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, and not even the starting quarterback. So that's on my mind for tonight. The Cardinals, though, in all seriousness, to go back to what they did, the offense and the defense, I thought, were pretty impressive on the first drive, not overly impressive, okay? And what do you mean by that, Brad? Well, I thought Patrick Peterson got beat. I thought it was a poor throw by Matt Cassel. I thought that the offensive line, Carson Palmer to me still looks like he's got game, not just this year. I know he's got game for this year. Carson Palmer's got game for a couple of years. Carson Palmer's contract is going to become an issue. It's not going to be the Larry Fitzgerald contract. It's not going to be that one that's hanging around out there that's the big 800-pound gorilla in the room. What's going to happen with Larry? What's Larry going to have to give back if he wants to stay here? But tell you what, Carson Palmer is not playing on his last game. This is not his last season. here in Arizona in terms of productivity, in my humble opinion. Here is Carson Palmer after the game in Minnesota on the offense, first-team offense, and their efficiency.
You know, I think, you know, obviously in the first drive, it was a nice 80-yard drive maybe. It's good to come out fast and have some really nice running plays, have a conversion on third down, and finally get in there after it took us a couple tries once we got down there close.
Here's Bruce Arians. There's some things that need to be cleaned up on the defensive side of the football after two preseason games.
We had the lead and couldn't hold on to it. We had a poor night defensively, third down, getting off the field. Some miscommunications down in distance. They had a third and 17. We're jumping under routes. We got to have better communication in those situations. Obviously, we had some busted assignments and zone coverage on tight ends.
I think, Eric, they're going to average around 30 points a game this year.
Which they could. I mean, their offense looks really, really good.
But again, without Michael Floyd out there.
And again, I know that it's a small sample size because you're just playing a couple series a game. But, you know, it's Carson Palmer, year two in the offense. Everyone's more familiar. Larry Fitzgerald needs to stay healthy. We'll see. Rob Houser may actually finally become the player that we've been hearing about since they drafted him in like 1987.
So. but here's my thing on it. Okay, am I wrong in looking at their first two opponents and saying, yeah, Clowney was great this past weekend, but he wasn't
unbelievable.
Out of, yeah, I mean he's going to be.
And he was unbelievable against the Cardinals. They just got drilled.
Yeah,
so that
yeah.
was more the storyline of the
because
fact.
They weren't on the field. Right.
Right. Right.
So, but is Minnesota's defense going to be a good defense this year?
I would doubt it.
So, you know, through two games, it wasn't Houston's best. It's the Minnesota Vikings who aren't very good.
Two new head coaches in both situations, new
right,
systems, new
right.
schemes.
So they're putting new people in place. So it's not like you consider. Now, I know we're all wound up about getting to the regular season. Cincinnati's good. Cincinnati's really, I think Cincinnati's going to have a very good season. There's a few takeaways I had from the weekend. I think the Falcons are going to have a good season. I think Mike Smith is updating his demo tape by doing Hard Knocks. I don't look at Atlanta and say, wow, they're going to be really good. They had more injuries happen this weekend. But in seriousness, this Sunday night's game with the Cardinals at home against Cincinnati, I'm actually looking forward to this game. You know, I hope that form holds true when it comes to these meaningless games at the third preseason game. These guys play a little bit because I think it's a much better test than what we've seen the first 2 weeks. You know, the fourth preseason game is going to be one of the worst matchups in the history of mankind because the same two teams, the Chargers and Cardinals, play each other the following week. So there's not going to be anything gained out of it. This is really the last game plan. So, you know, there's some things on the Cardinals. Here's Teddy Bridgewater, by the way. Teddy Bridgewater has this game-winning drive. It wasn't pretty, but the rookie quarterback was able to produce.
The thing I was telling myself was just to score. You know, try to score, you know, no matter what it takes. You know, we need points. We need to win this game. And at halftime, you know, Coach Norv Turner came into the locker room and he told the guys that were getting ready to go into the second half that, you know, we're not getting ready to play a game. We're getting ready to go win a football game.
So that's where we are with the Cardinals. Before we get to break here, I want to welcome on board a brand new sponsor. We have a brand new sponsor that I'm very excited about. It's Columbus Foods. Columbus Foods now jumping on board with Sports 360 AZ. Columbus Foods, founded by Italian immigrants in 1917, nearly 100 years of experience. Columbus Foods, guys, as you watch it on the stream, a venerable San Francisco Bay Area institution. They start with the finest ingredients. The finest ingredients by hand-selecting whole cuts of premium meat using real herbs and spices. Take extra time. They take extra time, care, and slow curing their salami, slow roasting their deli meats. Eric, here's the deal on this one. Columbus says that every Wednesday they're going to bring in a tray of this salami for us.
Oh, wow. That's
every
wonderful.
Every week. So, guys, as you're getting ready for the weekend, for your big tailgate, or for your big event, or your big thing at the house, every Wednesday, you're going to see it right here with Columbus Meats jumping on board with us. It's damn good meat. The best ingredients that are out there. Columbus products available at most Valley retailers. Right now, go to AJ's. Go to AJ's. Get your focus on them. That's Columbus Meats. Columbus Meats now a part of Sports 360 AZ. Wednesdaysnow.com. That is good stuff. You know what? Nobody's going to call in sick on Wednesdays now. I know that. On the other side, more on ASU. So we're really going to get into what happened at the ASU scrimmage. Who shined during the week?
Scrimmage?
I mean, practice. They handed off. Who got their jersey dirty? Some thoughts on a quarterback who was really good last year in Arizona, who was not named the starter at his college of choice. And I've got some thoughts on him maybe being a Sun Devil down the road. That's on the other side. Paul Lebova, news and notes in about 10 minutes. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360AZ.
There's a lot that happened around college football over the weekend. Notre Dame's in trouble. Their leading receiver, some academic scandal going on at Notre Dame. And of course, whenever I see a story involving a team that both Arizona or Arizona State are going to play in the coming football season, I have to think about that a little bit and work it in on the show. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. There's people that love Notre Dame's football program. There's people that hate Notre Dame's football program. Notre Dame is the biggest brand in college football. So whenever something happens, four key players being held out of team activities because of academic fraud all the way back from 2012. So Devarius Daniels, Kendall Moore, Ishak Williams, Kavaria Russell, those are the names that are out there. And the president of the university says, integrity is at the heart of our mission and academic misconduct will not be tolerated at Notre Dame. And that's fine. That's fine. My thing is, I'm looking at the ASU-Notre Dame game this year. I've said before, I think ASU has a tremendous opportunity in this first season of the college playoff. Now, before you accuse me of drinking something really strong, please listen closely. And if you're watching a stream, read my lips. I'm not saying they're going to be in the Final Four or win the national title. Okay. What I am saying, the AP poll came out and they're ranked 19th. I think ASU has tremendous concerns on the defensive front. I mean, if Marcus Hardison doesn't play well and Smallwood doesn't come through, they're in trouble. There's no other way to put it. They're not going to win very many games. However, if they get a semblance of a pass rush, Jackson Hood comes back, plays well. Smallwood, I thought, did some nice things up at camp. Hardison and some of the other rotation players, they're going to score points. They are going to score. But you have Notre Dame on your schedule in early November. Okay? You can say whatever you want, guys, but you're going to have all national media eyes on your program for that game in early November. I don't know how far this academic scandal is going to go. This may be a puff of white smoke, and that's that. Or it may be something where Brian Kelly, for the second year in a row, has had to dodge trouble at Notre Dame, and maybe ASU catches lightning in a bottle and catches them at the right time. It'll be a home game at Sun Devil Stadium. It's Notre stinking Dame that's coming here. And if you're in a spot where you have one loss, I don't know if any team in the country is going to make it through unscathed. Florida State was picked the preseason favorite. That's fine. Florida State plays Notre Dame, by the way, too, this year. I think UCLA is the class of the Pac-12 South. I do believe that. I think Brett Hundley, not sitting here with bias or anything, I think Brett Hundley is a Heisman Trophy contender. But we all saw what ASU did to UCLA last year out in Los Angeles. So when you put it together, you get through the UCLA side. I'm not a big Steve Sarkisian guy as a coach. I'm just not. And they haven't recovered from their numbers. Okay, the USC game is the first part of October. I got these nitwits here, and Eric and Jared, that are playing rock, paper, scissors over who's going to Corvallis today. You know, we all go on road trips, and I come in here to do a show, and it's who's going to Corvallis. Why don't you guys want to go to Corvallis, by the way?
I mean, it's pretty easy. We're all about organization. We got to think these things ahead of time. You know, we can't be playing out these trips the week before they happen.
Why not?
Yeah, we have to buy airline tickets. You know how
that
goes.
No, I have to buy airline tickets.
We, the company, you,
I'm the one that's got to swipe the card.
Yeah, that's fine. You're the CEO of the company.
Who's going to Albuquerque?
I am.
Okay. Is the Balloon Fest going on, or is there anything else
going on? Are we really driving? Are you really considering doing that?
No,
okay,
heck
good.
No. Heck no.
Albuquerque's beautiful, said no one ever.
I love going to Albuquerque and doing games at the Pit. I've done basketball games at the Pit. That's a really cool experience. Their football program's miserable, okay? For you Lobo fans, all three of you here in Arizona, New Mexico's like a six-hour drive away. Move. So who's going to Boulder following week?
Jared.
So you're not going to Boulder? You haven't been to Boulder, have you?
I haven't.
What is your problem?
I don't know. We just don't.
Why do you want to go to Albuquerque, not Boulder?
We got to kind of break it up. I can't travel back to back. I'm married now, you know. I have a responsibility for my wife, not
Trust
just myself.
Me, you'll get tired of that real quick. You'll be begging to go on road trips. So Jake.
No comment on that.
In Boulder, right? And Jake will come down and meet us in Boulder.
That's
you don't
cool.
want to hang out?
I love hanging out with Jake, but.
All right.
Sometimes you don't get what you want.
Okay,
in life all the time,
so USC, how did that one work out?
That's me. Because, what? Well, you guys are off doing other things that weekend. So it comes down to, well, Brad can't go and Jared can't go, so Eric's
going to
go.
So you're going to USC.
Which is fine. I have family now in the Los Angeles area. I can say that. I've been married almost a month.
What makes you think they're going to want you to come stay with them? Maybe you're that guy.
I'll just surprise them and show up at their door. Yeah. Surprise, I'm here.
Make sure you don't do it with a Dodger game going on.
Correct. You know? Correct.
I shouldn't do inside jokes like that, but that's fine.
It's all right.
So then we have Corvallis. So Jordan Hamm was hired here by Sports 360 a couple of weeks ago. When Eric took off, we said, let's expand the staff. And he's done a very good job. Do you think he can go to Corvallis and handle Corvallis? Have you ever been to Corvallis?
I have not.
Corvallis is like going to Chandler High School on a Friday night and walking across the street at Chandler High for rolled tacos at Elmer's. There's not much to do in Corvallis. So that seems to me to be a pretty good launching point for young Mr. Hamm. I'd probably have to go with him. And I don't mind Corvallis. Seattle? Who's got Seattle?
To be determined.
See, and I want Seattle. I don't want you guys to go with me. Seattle's a great city. Why would I want you guys to show up? I'll take some pictures off my iPhone and call it a day. Then what do we have left after that? Tucson?
Yeah, Tucson.
That's the last one?
Yep, that's it.
Knock yourself out. Have a great time.
That's an easy one.
Eric and I left U of A last week, and I hit a pothole that just about took my Fusion and threw it off the side of the road. I was not happy. Not happy. So we got that worked out today. On the field, ASU opens in just over a week and a half. In fact, the kickoff luncheon is this coming Friday. We have a table at that this year. We're inviting people to come hang with us. So the game is a week from Thursday. It's Weber State, so they'll be 1-0. They'll go to Albuquerque, they'll be 2-0. They'll go to Boulder, they'll be 3-0. They're going to be off to a good start. Just keep an eye on this Notre Dame story. That's all I'm saying about Notre Dame is if there's some things that get sideways by the time ASU plays Notre Dame, the Irish may not be fighting much at all. And so that was a bit of news over the weekend. In terms of the practice that ASU had, here's Todd Graham on Camp T and how it went for ASU.
Obviously, we've got a good football team coming out of here. It's been unbelievable. It's been the best Camp T camp that we've had. We've got a brotherhood coming down this hill. We just got to make sure that we keep it together. And I like this football team. I'm really proud of their development to this point. And these guys are focused on winning a championship.
Were you in the middle of the band with him?
No, but the band was right behind him.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's
the band made it up for the scrimmage. I mean, the practice.
Yeah, that was probably one of the highlights. I took my son and he was picking crawdads by 30 minutes into it. He's like, I'm 9. I'm not into watching tackling drills.
At least he wasn't picking something else.
Well, he does that too. Here's Mike Norvell. Mike Norvell, where is your offense right now with the season less than 2 weeks away?
We got some things that, at every position that we got to get better. We got to continue to get better fundamentally, better with our communication. But I think that we're playing at a good speed. I think we can play faster. But just that execution, you know, play in, play out.
So here's the thing with Mike Norvell, and that's actually, to me, one of the more fascinating storylines that we've had at Arizona State in a long, long time, and that is quarterback. So Taylor Kelly is going to be the guy this year, barring injury. Mike Bercovici is backing him up. You have Colton Gerhardt, and you have Manny Wilkins. Next year, you have Mr. White, Brady White, and you have Mr. Perkins, Bryce Perkins over at Chandler High. This last week, it came out over the weekend that Texas A&M announced their starting quarterback. It ended up not being Kyle Allen from Desert Mountain High School, who was rated a year ago as the number one quarterback prospect in the nation. I said at the time, I wish the young man well. I hope things go well for him at Texas A&M. We actually had him in studio. But I also said, players from Texas are going to get that opportunity and get that shot down the road. A&M next year has the top quarterback prospect out of the state of Texas. I'm just looking at the dots. And I would not be surprised at all. If things don't change, that's the proviso on all this. It wouldn't surprise me at all to see Kyle Allen do what Connor Brewer did. I'm not saying go to U of A, but to look to come back here. Come back to Arizona State. Wouldn't surprise me at all. It's kind of like this. ASU is sitting there with not much help on the defensive front. Eric, we would agree that the defensive line of the Sun Devils is more than a concern.
Thin and young.
So there's a kid named Quaylen Cunningham who just absolutely killed it last year at Hamilton High School. Big Quaylen decided to go to Texas A&M. Big Quaylen right now fighting just to get on the field. Big Quaylen had decided to stay home. Big Quaylen would be on the football field. If you want to be in the NFL, okay, if your goal for these kids is to make it in the NFL, then look around and see where you have the best opportunity to play immediately. Not to say I'm going to the Southeastern Conference, because guys, give me a name of guys that went to the SEC out of the state of Arizona that have gone there and done really well. The names of Heyman and Westerman don't quite cut it. Is there someone that I'm missing along the way? I'm sure there is. Can't think of them off the top of my head. It works out fine for guys to go to different Pac-12 schools. I mean, Devin Allen up at Oregon, give me the last great wide receiver that came out of Arizona or anywhere for that matter and went to Oregon. When was the last time Oregon produced a wide receiver that went to the NFL that killed it? I mean, absolutely killed it. And you got to keep thinking all the way back to Ahmad Rashad. That's the way that game works. Bobby Moore. There hasn't been much. And I hope it goes well for Devin Allen up at Oregon. My point is, look what's going on here. You could go to Tucson or you could go to Tempe. It doesn't matter to me. But when these kids leave and go places like the SEC, Quaylen Cunningham, if he stays here, he's a starter for ASU right now. That's a fact. Paula Bovin is next. News and Notes. AZ Central Sports columnist, more importantly, my friend. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ. Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories, it's time for News and Notes with AZ Central Sports columnist, Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussmat.
News and Notes every week. Paula Bovin, AZ Central Sports columnist, more importantly, my friend. She joins us for a couple of minutes. She is over at Cardinals camp. I want to start with Monae Davis because I think that was the sports story of the weekend. And actually the best story that I saw nationally over the weekend. Do you want to go Cardinals? You want to go ASU into the Little League World Series? Where do you want to go here?
Oh, gosh, I could go anywhere, Brad. I will tell you the Davis thing for me. And my husband laughed at me about this, but it was almost emotional for me to see that because, you know, as corny as it sounds, there's always been this issue of women and men and competing, and there's never a level playing field, obviously, where there's physiological differences. So when it happens, you know, like it did with Annika Sorenstam out at the Colonial 11 years ago or whatever it was, and then this, it's just so inspiring for me.
Where did this come from for you? Because you've championed women's rights, which is great in your writing. And where was this? Was it instilled by family? I don't know. But there are not many female voices that are as outspoken as you tend to be.
Well, you know what it is? It's from years, and I've been in this business, as you know, a long time. It's all I've ever wanted to do. And the ugliness that has surrounded the, you know, from fans to sometimes even media about women's sports. I still see it in the WNBA. I mean, it's never, so often it's not just criticism. It's not the same, and I don't like women's basketball. Fine, you don't like it. It's never that. It's almost always, you know, these just derogatory terms, pejorative, and it's always bugged me. And I think, you know, the older I've gotten, the more I don't care what people think about what I say about it. So I think there's that part, too.
No, that's good. That's good. Because, you know, the Monet Davis story, this is, she's not the first girl to play. She's the most recent girl to play, and she looks like she could play high school baseball, and she looks like she could throw in the minor leagues. I don't know if you can go that far, but there's people that said physically she's so dominating. Wednesday night is the next time they play. And I have to tell you, right now, 4:30 on Wednesday night, I'm probably going to try to find myself in a space where I can watch a little bit of her if she's pitching. She has that type of interesting.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think another interesting part of the storyline is the support that's around it. And that's what's so interesting to me. And social media has allowed that. But I think in the past when there's been these kind of situations, you haven't seen a Larry Fitzgerald type, you know, saying, you know, she's an honorary member of the Dread Club or whatever, you know, those kinds of things. I think the support she's receiving from men and women and professional athletes and celebrities, I think it's so cool. And, you know, and for me too, I think for years I was so interested in and so concerned about sort of keeping my job in sports writing, and I didn't want to be pegged the woman who only wanted to write about women, which is a sad thing to say, but never wanted to be pigeonholed. And so anyway, I'm sorry, I'm going off on a tangent, but that's what I've been thinking about lately.
Yeah, no, I'm getting glazed over. Just kidding. No, it's fine. It's fine. It's Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. You're out at Cardinals camp today. What is the vibe out there after their preseason game on Saturday?
I think it's a little tempered. You know, I think after the first preseason game, there was such excitement, and for good reason. I mean, they played fantastic. There were concerns, I think, after this game defensively, maybe a little bit of the offensive line. You know, you had a lot of non-starters in for a good chunk of this game, so you have to sort of think about it that way, too. But I think that it's just the enthusiasm is a little tempered. I know that Bruce Arians will have his press conference here in about 10 minutes, so that'll be an interesting thing to, you know, kind of see how he reacts again.
Well, Kevin Minter is becoming a concern in my mind. And at linebacker, they're thin to begin with. You know, I'm watching the other night, and I don't get too high or too low off of that stuff. I only watched the first quarter and a half in real time and then went back and watched, zipped through as quick as I could the end of the game. But, you know, to me, this coming Sunday, Cincinnati just as a whole is a much better team than the Vikings. And I think they're a much better overall team than the Texans. And we know that the fourth preseason game, it's the Chargers in back-to-back weeks. So we're not going to see anything. So really, preseason against another squad, it's going to come down to this weekend. And I am interested to see how they perform because there are warts. I do think Carson Palmer is showing, to me at least, Paula, and I don't know where you are on this, that you can make all a big deal out of Larry Fitzgerald's contract, and rightly so. It is the 800-pound gorilla in the room as to what's going to happen. But Carson Palmer, to me, here in the first couple of weeks of camp, has shown that he has gas left in the tank and that he is not just some guy who's back there kind of sort of trying to hang in there. And his contract has to be addressed as well. It's not Fitz's deal, but Carson Palmer's future with the Cardinals needs to be addressed by Steve Keim here this season at some point, I do believe.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. And I think you're absolutely right. He certainly is not playing or acting like a guy who's just counting down the days to his retirement. I mean, I think people are going to be really impressed with him this year now that he sort of understands the system. I think that was a bit of a problem, you know, early on last season. Obviously, you come into a new situation and your reads aren't as great as they could be, things like that. But he's got clearly a few more years left on him. I don't think it'll be turned into a big deal. I mean, I think he's realistic in how much longer he can play, and I think he really, really likes it here. He loves the fact that there's no drama in this locker room. He likes how the team has treated him. His family likes living out here. So I don't think that's going to turn into a problem. You know, the Fitzgerald thing is interesting because part of me sort of feels like they're continually preparing for life without him. You know, I don't know if that's the case, but
I would agree with that.
They've got depth at receiver. Yeah. They've got speed at receiver. Guys that bring a different thing than Larry. You know, they're always going to say, we want Larry for life. I mean, that's what you do as an ownership of a team that has one of the, you know, NFL's greatest wide receivers. But I'm not necessarily sold on the fact that they truly mean it.
Well, and here's the thing on that, Paula. I think that no matter what happens with Larry, if and when Larry does leave, the organization will get pounded. Because people here, there's not that deep of a fan base. There's so many Cowboy bandwagoners and Packers and Bears and all that stuff. So the average person's going to say, oh, the Cardinals didn't pay up to Larry Fitzgerald, same old Cardinals, which is nonsense. That's not true.
Right.
The Cardinals have been consistent. But I do believe that you're right on that. The thing on Carson is, I'm watching him the other night, and he's not Kurt Warner, but there are similarities to the two of them at this stage of their career. When Kurt first came here off the scrap heap, and he hates it when I use that term, but it was true. He was
sure.
on a scrap heap with the Giants. He gets all bent out of shape about that. But I see a little bit of the same deal going on with Carson Palmer in terms of efficiency, knowledge, moving the team, being the true leader that we haven't seen. And maybe it's because we've had so many bad quarterbacks here in Arizona to cover since Kurt left. But Carson has a little bit of Warner in him.
Yeah, I agree. And it's been really interesting to see even too how players have connected with him and relate to him the way players looked up to Kurt. I mean, you know, the fact that he was inviting young players to come out to his California home and work out with him for a couple weeks. I mean, he was clearly recognizing some of the young talent that was there. And the players really seemed to have a respect. You know, he's different from Kurt in that he's kind of got this dry sense of humor and he doesn't sort of pour out his soul like Kurt did. But there's clearly a great deal of respect on this team for him.
Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. Before I let you go, because I know you have Arians here in a couple of minutes, Notre Dame players are in trouble, four of them. ASU plays Notre Dame later on this season. This bodes well for ASU. One of them is a starting wide receiver. We'll see how it all plays out. In all seriousness, what did you make out of the Sun Devils at Camp T and how they're looking to you coming into this season? I've got my thoughts. What are yours?
Yeah, I think, this is no great insight, but I love their offense. I love what's happening with, you know, the depth at wide receiver to more depth at running back. There's some really good freshman running backs on that team that'll be a nice complement, I think, to DJ Foster. I have questions about the defense. When you lose that many, and particularly on the defensive line, and you're starting a lot of young guys, I mean, that is kind of holding me back from going hog wild about what this team can do. But I'm impressed that, you know, I'm writing about this for this week, that Todd Graham just has this train kind of chugging along, and now, you know, we're raising the bar of expectations another year. This is his third year. About 75% of the projected starters are going to be his. So now we're really going to see maybe what kind of, you know, recruiting coaching staff this is, and also if he can kind of take it to another level and win on the big stage.
Here's a couple things on my end. So I think if Marcus Hardison doesn't play well, they're in big trouble. If Smallwood doesn't come through, they're in big trouble.
Sure.
If Jackson Hood doesn't come through. So, you know, it's three players on the defensive front. That's not rocket science, but those are the guys that are out there. The other side is Dennis Erickson was a very nice guy. I like Dennis a lot. Give me, I don't know, how many NFL quality caliber guys they have in their senior class this year? Not many. And it shows that Dennis missed on a lot of guys his last 2 years that he was here. I mean, yeah, he hit on some, and he hit on a lot when he got here early, but their senior class is lacking, and there's no other way to put it.
Yeah, certainly if you look beyond the Taylor Kellys of the world, which is an interesting story in itself because he wasn't a highly related recruit, but he was developed, I think, a lot by Graham and the staff to be a really good quarterback. There's no question. He had some, I think Graham has said he inherited some really good guys from Erickson, but if you look at sort of what's left right now, it's not overly encouraging as far as guys playing their careers beyond college. And now we're kind of seeing what Graham can do and what kind of players he's brought in. I'm really interested to see how that part of it goes.
All right. Go stir it up with Arians. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Greg.
See ya. It's Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. And more importantly, a good friend. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. So 3 years ago, I walk out of Channel 3. I give my notice. I said, I'm going to go do something. And I had in my mind what I wanted to form this company. And one of the first people that called me was Tim Hovick, the general manager over at Santan Ford. And I'd known Tim for quite some time. And he said, what are you doing? you know, people are saying you just walked out on television. I said, yeah, because everything's going digital. Everything's going to the phones. Why am I sitting here for 8 hours waiting to do 2 minutes that I could have done 6 hours ago and had a life? Makes no sense. He says, I get it. I see it. Brad, understand me. Wherever you go, whatever you do, know that Santan Ford is with you and the Arizona Ford dealers are with you. Okay, that's pretty powerful. And he's been a man of his word, not that I ever questioned that was going to be the case. And for us, the Sesmat household, we just purchased the Explorer I've been telling you about. We purchased it last week. Certified pre-owned vehicle. Okay, so it's got about 30,000 miles on it. It's perfect for my wife. She has comfort. She has room. She has space. We traded in our Expedition. Very simple process. JD held us up and got us through it. Great people over at Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Stop on in and find out for yourself. Maybe you're in that vehicle where you're saying, why am I driving this still? I'm not comfortable in it. Do what we've done in the Sesmat household. That's stopping to Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista, Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Some other things in my mind on the college front. Some news on the Suns that's coming out this morning. Our guy Sean Marion is back in the news. Johnny Manziel tonight. So there's quite a bit that I'm going to clean out on the other side. I'm Brad Sesmat. I didn't know I'd work Cleveland into the show so much today, but it's just that type of show. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sesmat. Right now, on Sports360AZ.com, you can check out Jared Cohen's Daily Dozen. He and Jason Jewell do a lot of high school football recruiting. Recruiting is a huge deal in our state, not just high school, but for colleges as well. You guys are college football fans. You want to know who's going where, who's doing what. We have the recruiting roundup every week, and we also have our Daily Dozen, 12 football names you need to know. This is the start of, this is zero week in high school football. So there's some scrimmages going on this week, but this is the start of the high school football season as well. We have plenty of content on that end. Of course, we just came back from doing the week up at Camp Tanazona, and we are going to be traveling with ASU all season long, so we'll be all over the place. I mentioned Cleveland because Sean Marion's going to the Cavaliers. I really wish the Suns would do something of substance this offseason. I really do. I know they had a good season last year, and it surprised everybody at 48 wins, but I have to tell you, Eric, I'm not all that enamored with everything that's gone on. Isaiah Thomas had some minor surgery, and this whole thing with Bledsoe has not sorted itself out yet. Sean Marion, teams that sign Sean Marion are teams that are competing for titles.
Yep.
Because Matrix is not going to go play 40 minutes, 30 minutes a game now. Matrix will play 15. And if he's good enough to be with LeBron James, why is he not good enough to be here?
Think back to mid to late June when that story from Adrian Wojnarowski came out about the Suns actually maybe possibly being in the running for LeBron James. And after that, look at how the entire offseason has just, for the most part, completely deteriorated.
Well, I give Ryan McDonough credit that he went after some of the big names. I give him credit for that. But if you're not able to close the big names this summer, now we're looking at another year where you're not going to go from being the ninth or tenth seed. And we're rolling on this right now. So you can throw it back in my face next June if we're sitting here in the finals. You're not going to go from the ninth seed, barely missing the playoffs, to beating San Antonio or anybody, the Clippers. They're not there. They're just a team that's going to roll on the floor. The fans are going to get excited about it. It's like, I want titles, okay? I want ownership committed to titles, not committed to talking about getting a great team put together. You got to push it across the finish line.
And now, Brad, and no Kevin Love, it appears. I mean, that ship has sailed. And I'm going to give McDonough a pass on Channing Frye. Because Orlando overpaid Channing Frye.
Sure.
Good for Channing. I mean, Channing got paid. This is going to be his last big contract. But you have to wonder, all that momentum from last season is now kind of, the air is sort of out of the balloon.
No, there's no question. There is no question. You can say, oh, we drafted this kid and we drafted that kid. I'm still waiting for Markieff Morris to show anything that is of star caliber. You know, it's another first-round pick who's a nice role player. They got a bunch of nice players, and they've got a point guard who's really good in Dragic. And they have another guard who I don't think is going to be all that excited. They're going to get, here's what's going to happen. He's going to take the qualifier. They're going to talk about, and he's going to talk about how he's going to play hungry this year. He's going to be motivated because he's on his contract. This is already coming. I can tell you this. And we're going to hear that line. And then around January, it's going to be, guys, there's no way I'm going to stay here in Phoenix. And they're going to end up moving him. That's how this is going to play out. And we're rolling on this too. I guarantee stinking tee you on that. And the Bledsoe thing, but when I see Sean Marion of the Cavs, it's okay, that's a team going for a title. You sign a guy like that here, that's a good piece. They must feel like they're pretty close. Instead, I've got Isaiah Thomas, who's a nice player in Sacramento. He's in Sacramento, and now he's here. I don't see where they're that much better. You going to watch Manziel tonight?
Yep, I'm going to watch it. I mean, of course.
Like, you going to watch Hoyer tonight?
Yeah, it's...
You almost want Hoyer to just be brutal so that they get Manziel into the game.
I'm a sucker because I'm not a fan of the NFL preseason at all. But I will be watching Johnny Football just because. It's just like you have to see. It's as close to must-see TV.
Is it because he's a train wreck?
Well, I think – I don't know if – I mean, on the field, the verdict is still out. He was fine in his first game. I mean, a lot of people were trashing him on Twitter. Like, what do you expect?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
A 99-yard touchdown run on your first play where he breaks 10 tackles? We'll see. It's early. We'll see.
Okay, over-under on LeBron James – and the game's not in Cleveland. The game's in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
But
references? LeBron James references?
References.
Two.
I'll go over. Somehow I think it's going to get worked in there about how Cleveland's had this amazing offseason.
Unless they roll the B-roll when LeBron was out at Brown's practice and he talked to Manziel after practice.
Well, you know they're going to do that.
Well, and if that's the case, then of course the over is going to come in.
Yeah.
But the game's not in Cleveland, so I'm hoping that we don't have to see that.
Does LeBron show up and stand on the sidelines for... See, that's the thing about this whole
interesting.
Deal. That's the whole thing about this. It's like how many Kevin Love LeBron James... Because remember, who's showing the game tonight? It's a network partner with the NBA also.
Good point.
So they're going to cross-promote. They're going to cross-reference. There's a business model to
especially
all this.
Now that the NBA schedule is out.
Oh.
I see where you're working.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And add to that, I have to believe there's a conspiracy theorist in me on this. Don't start Teddy Bridgewater. Put him in the game in the third and fourth quarter because we want to drag numbers. We want to build ratings. We want people to sit through this slop. And so take some of these kids and hold them in there. These quarterbacks, don't start Johnny Manziel. Put them in the third and fourth quarter because we want a huge – tonight may well be the highest rated, worthless preseason game in the history of cable.
Not if there's 35 penalties like we see in a lot of these games over the weekend where they're calling every single thing defensively to try to spike these huge scoring that they had last year. Like, you touch the guy as a corner, it's defensive holding or illegal contact. I mean, it's going to become arena football at some point.
Well, it's already there. I mean, the NFL is close to unwatchable, this stuff right now. I tried to watch Peyton Manning yesterday, and I watched him make a couple of nice plays, throwing out guys that are wide open. I wanted to see the 49ers' new park.
It looks gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does. And that doesn't help the Cardinals out if you're recruiting players. I mean, that's a whole deal up there. Sports360AZ.com. Plenty of content up right now on Sports360AZ.com. I'm going to have my own little notebook. I call it my three-dot thoughts, some things that I take the shotgun out and just kind of go all over the place. I'll have that for you. Our recruiting roundup, we all have that for you. Plus, plenty of news and notes around Arizona State Sun Devil football. We join you every Monday through Friday. Monday through Friday for a couple of hours here on Sports360AZ.com on AZ Central Sports. And we're on White Mountain Radio as well. You can always hit me up on Twitter or hit me over the head on Twitter. It's fine. I can handle it. Although some nitwit decided to do the ice bucket challenge with me. Hey, Brad. It's time for you. Eric, should I challenge you to the ice bucket challenge?
Well, first you have to do it, and then you challenge someone.
Yeah.
Well, so you've got like a day to do it.
Well, it's Jared's wife that did it.
I saw that.
Just what are you thinking? Raise your kids. I don't need to go do this. I'm Brad Sussmatt.